This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We are Dukes and Bell. We're live inside the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. On a Monday, guys, talking plenty about this offseason as it's well underway. We saw that really last week as Garoppolo gets his deal. And there will be some other moves that will be made prior to the combine, prior to free agency starting, because teams want to know what kind of money they're working with. And the way you free that up is obviously expiring contracts and going ahead, Mike, and making deals that make sense moving forward to adjust the cap. We're going to get into many more stories about what's going on around the NFL and our NFL blitz. But one I do want to mention, did you see this? Jerry Glanville back in coaching, Mike. What is he, 70?
Six, they said in the AJC today. He's going to go, I guess June Jones is coaching up in Canada. So that's where he's going to go. See, I mean, look, he was a great experience at Georgia Tech and obviously the Falcons and the Grits, and all, Grits Blitz and all that stuff. So, all right, good for Jerry.
Hamilton Tiger Cats is where they'll be.
You bet he is.
Yeah, man. So, obviously, the connection there to the Falcons and June Jones, who's kind of been all over the place now. I mean, he was Hawaii, SMU, now he's back up in Canada.
And by the way, according to our man Samuel Tarly, Hamilton Tiger Cats own the rights to One Johnny Football. We just talked about it. He's trying to get his brand out there again.
Okay. So, is that where you think he ends up? Is that what you're telling me? That's why I did this interview.
Like I said, hey, if the guy can get it together, he's also got his own. What's his clothing line called, by the way?
Comeback Season, spelled S-Z-N.
Oh.
For the cool kids.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say. Can't wait to get my gear. Comeback Seasons.
I guess Johnny D-Bag was already copywritten.
Oh, that's just not right.
What?
Let's get to an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
You know what scares people, Mike?
Spiders.
Fear.
You bet it does.
Fear scares people.
Wasn't fear being scared?
The fear of not doing what you need to do and getting your ass cut scares people.
You're right about that.
But apparently that's what's being said about the Patriot way. Now, I don't know if it's true. I think we all have our thoughts about Belichick and, you know, the way that he runs things. But I don't think there's any organization, Mike, in the NFL that wouldn't take the success that Belichick has had. Either way, when you win the Super Bowl, you can say whatever you want. And Lane Johnson, well, he said this about the Patriots.
The Patriot way is it's a fear-based organization. Obviously, do they win? Hell yes, they win. They won for a long time. Do I think people enjoy, can say, I had a lot of fun playing there? No, I don't.
Right.
That's just God honest truth. Are they successful? But when they go to interviews, they act like robots.
Right.
Hey, let's stop being a dickhead. We can be cordial for a little bit. Hey, you only get to do this job one time, so let's have fun while we're doing it.
I like that. I like that.
Not to be reckless, but hey, I would much rather have fun and win a Super Bowl than be miserable and,
win five Super Bowls.
Yeah, win five Super Bowls.
You know, it is interesting because we've talked, remember, Randy Cross, of course, worked here as well. He talked about, Bill Walsh liked to have a little level of, tension with some of the positions, and the fact that no one feels complacent, whether it was the offensive line. Look, never better illustrated than bringing Steve Young in to light a fire under Joe Montana. And some would say, why would you do that? So, I mean, there is a method to it. Other coaches have talked about creating that kind of tension. But, look, you cannot argue with their business model. I mean, the results speak for themselves.
They do. I would tell you, but part of the problem is
I wouldn't want to work like that, but some people, that's how they operate.
But I would tell you part of the problem in the NFL is too many teams are trying to work that way. You got to let guys be themselves.
Right.
And to his point, and I don't disagree with Lane Johnson about when you talk to them, they sound like robots. We are going to be there Sunday. We will play hard. We will be on the field.
Yeah, but Gronk's not a robot. I mean, they've had guys in there.
Gronk got in front of a podium and said, I really want to tell you guys what happened, but I can't. That's a robot.
Hey, they had Aaron Hernandez. I mean, he's always undermined.
Okay, that's not relevant. But that's Lane Johnson. That came our way. Pardon my take podcast from Barstool. I don't know what you think. I mean, listen, guys are going to take their shots. But to my point, Mike, I think a lot of NFL organizations, a lot of them, have this issue of trying to be too controlling with what the players are doing instead of allowing players to be themselves. And to that, I think all these coaches see Belichick and they go, we got to control this, when in fact, I think it may hurt the message sometimes.
You know, the bunker mentality. Not the show at night, which is a great show with Andy and Jarvis.
That
but,
is.
You know, but that sort of in the bunker, you know, us versus them, the media.
I'm just saying some
look,
teams
and might. By the way, look, there's cities around the country where the media certainly has become the enemy and everybody looking for an angle. But you're right. I mean, you know, the media in some cities is the enemy. Access is limited. Player access is limited. Players
player
are not supposed
access,
to be.
Very limited. Very
players
limited.
Players are not supposed to be on Twitter.
Players associating, very limited.
But I mean, but there is a paranoia that has existed in the NFL for years, not just because of Bill Belichick, but you're right. They are the most acute example of it.
Did you already say player access? It is Dukes and Bell. It's our NFL Blitz brought to you by...
Let the record reflect that's Carl Dukes.
Cobb County Kia. I ain't never scared. Here's the deal, guys, as we talk about what's going on around the league. Jacksonville, they're going to remove the tarp. I guess people are excited about their run in the playoffs.
But Jacksonville, as we all know, because we've talked about this before, doesn't have a lot of money. I mean, as far as disposable income with the fan base, you're telling me now that because they had a playoff season and things are cooking, they're going to spend more. People are going to spend more money now to come see them?
I guess, because they're also raising ticket prices. And they are getting new uniforms and helmets. That'll help, right?
What do they look like? You got a picture?
I don't. We don't know what they haven't revealed it yet.
I'm old fashioned, so I don't like the matte finish. I know some guys love to put their cars in the matte and the rims and everything. I like things sparkly and shiny, not like sequins like we talked about with the ice skating.
I'm glad you clarified.
But
that.
No, but I want rims to be, you know, rim color, silver, chrome. But anyway, in the case of the Jaguars, it looks like a car that's done in the body shop, Arthur, that just came out. They didn't get the paint job done. Some of the kids dig it. But anyway, so we'll see what that looks like. Well, whatever. Maybe it's going to look good when they make the move to London. Will they have a red, white, and blue theme?
Yeah, they are one of the prime candidates to
everybody
maybe be
out. Everybody
just
assumes that they're going to do that. There's no – I mean, look, because they weren't getting the attendance, that's why Shad Khan kind of made the deal with the NFL to be one of those extra home game teams over in England.
Hey, man, in other news, Reuben Foster. What is going on with Reuben Foster? You remember Reuben Foster, right? Alabama standout. He was arrested for the second time in less than a month, this time on charges related to domestic violence. Threats and possession of an assault weapon, Mike. Are the 49ers going to cut bait and move on from this guy?
Still America. Merck.
It
last
is.
Last time I checked.
It is.
You are still innocent until proven guilty, although not really anymore in any other case of anything. But see how the league plays it out. 49ers going to do their due diligence and the league will get involved. We'll see. Now, this goes back to the conversation we had last hour about the CBA. You know, I mean, do you suspend a guy until you have all the facts? Like, if the guy was being a maniac and he's putting hands on a woman, then he deserves to be suspended and obviously get hit in the wallet, whatever. But still got to hear the rest of the story first.
His arrest obviously could lead to discipline from the NFL up to and including a suspension, and that is what we know. You don't have to be convicted to be suspended by the league. So that is something that we're keeping an eye on. His case, both cases actually, are under review. By the league, so we'll see where that goes.
Did he get in trouble in Tuscaloosa? I know John and Rick were talking about that earlier. He had an incident back in Alabama.
So. Yeah. And listen, I think they were aware of that when they drafted him, but now that you've been a part of the 49ers for a couple of seasons, you've already had two incidents in a 49ers uniform.
A guy that I think a lot of folks are excited to see what he does at the next level. I mean, the logic about a running back, Carl, is you don't have to draft him first round. You can find some depth in the second, but this guy's going to be a rock star. Saquon Barkley inks a deal with Nike. Adrian Peterson was a Nike guy.
Yeah, so how much money are we talking about? Is it a big deal, big, huge deal for him?
Don't have the details. This is coming from the Allentown Morning Call.
Okay. I do. And by the way, I do like Saquon Barkley's skill set. I do. You know, they're saying he's a top 10 pick in this particular draft.
Right.
We'll see who rolls the dice.
If you watch Penn State, just unbelievable. The ability to, you know, in the open field, can do basically everything an NFL coach would want. But, don't have the details on it, but it's obviously a multi-year, multi-million-dollar deal with Nike.
Pretty cool, man. Larry Fitzgerald, one of our favorite guys. Did you see what he did over the weekend? Cardinals wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald, along with PGA pro Kevin Streelman. Thank you. I couldn't get that L out. Won the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And I did not know that Fitz had this kind of game. I mean, honestly, he played amazing over the weekend. 12-under final round, winning by 7 strokes.
Right.
Here's Larry Fitzgerald.
Definitely. I'm gonna keep the original, and then I'm gonna get him one made, you know, so he can put it in his house next to all his other trophies, and hopefully the kids won't break it.
So So he's talking about the trophy. He wants to keep the original, and he'll give one to Kevin, have another one made. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool accomplishment, man.
Ted Potter Jr. wins the overall tournament, but as far as the pairing of the pro and the amateur, that was, I mean, that's really cool, man. Anybody who's ever been lucky enough to be out there in Monterey and in the peninsula, it is absolutely breathtaking, man. It's, of course, I think if you get a chance, if you're a golfer, you got to put it on your bucket list.
By the way, he's still contemplating whether or not he is going to play.
Waiting to see if Kirk Cousins or a quarterback of equal value signs with the Arizona Cardinals if you're Larry Fitz.
Well, don't we always talk about the delivery system? I mean,
right.
it matters. I don't care how talented you are as a receiver. You go somewhere where the quarterback's a buster.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to help you out. Any.
Well, Steve Keim, the GM, has been extended in Arizona, so whatever they're going to do, the same guy's going to be making the call on that. Bruce Arians obviously is out, but yeah, just the idea that you still have a good enough defense, and you got the best running back coming off an injury, so you know he'll be ready to roll, and you still got Larry Fitz, so yeah, you've got a chance to compete, if not for the winning division, certainly the wild card against the Rams in Seattle.
Yeah, and by the way, he can wait. He's got that luxury. I mean, being who he is and the vet, he can hold out and not hold out. Literally, in the sense, but just wait it out and see how things, you know, play out for the Cardinals.
Hey, DeAndre Hopkins talking to the Houston Chronicle saying, you know who looked good in a uniform? The Texans?
Who?
Jimmy Graham. A lot of people. I know Falcon fans here say that Jimmy Graham would look good in a Falcon uniform. Probably too cost prohibitive, guys, with all the other needs we have to address in the offseason.
You know the other thing, though, I hear from guys? On the street. He's soft. Like, people have this perception that Jimmy Graham's a soft dude. And if, in fact, that's your perception, I don't know. I mean, all I know is when he's with the Saints, and maybe you say it's Drew Brees made him better. Okay, fine. But he did have a really good year this year, I thought, with Seattle, Mike. And I think if you're looking for that kind of a weapon down in the red zone, which is something we thought Hooper's going to turn into, he has not done that yet. Maybe he does in this next season. But I don't know if I go pay that kind of money when I have other pressing needs. We got a tight end. Here's the deal. I know everybody wants to upgrade every position.
Right.
You can't.
I just need a Hooper to be more consistent. I think at the bare minimum, that's what we need. But we got to get the tight end. And I know that you're never going to go back and replicate the kind of production Tony Gonzalez gave with Matt Ryan. But Matt's comfortable throwing to the tight end. And it would open things up, I think, even further for Julio. So, I mean, a big athletic tight end and a guy of Jimmy Graham's. I mean, he's only, 31? He'll be 31?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, short deal. 2 years.
But unfortunately, I don't think he's going to want that. He's going to want to get paid. And we just, again, if you're going to invest guys in a free agent guard, at least one, that money's going to, you know, and everyone's waiting to see, as we talked about earlier in the show, what a Matt Ryan contract looks like and how that money gets moved to not be the ultimate cap hit that frees up the money for things like Jimmy Graham.
Hey, speaking of the Falcons, coming up, we will talk about where our schedule ranks in the upcoming season as that news has come out and what it means for our Falcon football team. Because, you know, we know the teams we're playing already, but we certainly don't know the schedule. How that schedule plays out as far as the dates, time off, when the bye week falls.
We don't get that till the spring.
But all that plays into the predictions of teams making the Super Bowl. And we know that this year, in 2018, or 2019, should I say, it will be right here in Atlanta.
Now, I don't want to tell you anything, but I got to get, for you gamblers out there, and this is a much better information than Arthur gave you when he convinced us to bet the Raptors.
Arthur
Hawks
never
game.
Gave them anything. You said it.
Now, you can go, if I was a betting man, I'd be all over that
bet
one.
Bet the house is what he said.
And Toronto, even though there was a chance for a backdoor cover, it came up short. So disregard that. The NFL is our wheelhouse. Arthur is no part of this, but we do have a proposition involving an over-under with one NFL team. I think some of you degenerates might want to listen for.
All right, stay tuned for that. Also, the expectations of our United Club, which, again, we're just a few weeks away from the first real game. And after seeing the team play this weekend, I don't think there's any question we have the most talent in the league. I mean, honestly, when you look at our roster, you look at our starting lineup, we have depth this year. That's something I think they wanted to add, and they did that. But, Mike, when you look at the talent level on the field, you're going, man, this thing, we're loaded. There should not be any expectation outside of MLS Cup.
Well, there's just so many guys that can score, so much excitement, you know, and just so many pieces. I mean, it's going to be kind of, for guys that are not into soccer, it's going to be like our version or the MLS version of Showtime with the Lakers. There's a potential for that. When you see how they move the ball, and there were some sequences, again, even in some crappy weather against, you know, again, it's minor league competition, National, not an MLS team yet, but there were some point-to-point passes. We're like, look at that, man. Watch them do their thing. So a lot of reason to be excited. More preseason on the way. And then, of course, you'll hear all the games right here on 92.9 The Game.
Hey, one other NFL news note, and I know many of you heard it over the weekend. We had talked about what a debacle it was with Josh McDaniels turning down that Colts job. Frank Reich,
right,
the new coach of the Colts. He was the offensive coordinator for the Eagles this year. So he wins the Super Bowl. Many of you, if you have a certain age, remember him being the longtime backup in Buffalo.
The great comeback against
Absolutely.
The Oilers. Yeah.
That was his signature moment. I mean, that game is still played to this day, and people can't believe it. It was the most incredible comeback ever, especially against Warren Moon and that offense. But with that said, he now gets his head coaching opportunity, Mike, and he's got a quarterback.
Yeah. Now, if you believe that Andrew Luck can get out there, that's the question. We talked earlier, if you guys missed it, we spoke with a guy that covers the Colts last week, who was saying that everything was on pace for the return to the gridiron last year, and then something just went awry with his arm. And remember, they weren't. He said the Colts weren't sandbagging. They just were surprised as everyone else was when it went south. But, I mean, you got a ton of money invested in the guy. He's still one of the highest-paid quarterbacks. And, you know, can he do it? Will his arm respond? I mean, will he be back to being the guy he has or what he's supposed to be? Or will he come back looking like Peyton shot putting the football?
It's a big question mark. But Frank Reich taking that opportunity to see with a five-year deal with the Colts. So he is their new head coach. I got this I want to read this message so I can correct here, from Gerard, who says, what are your thoughts on moving Matthews to right guard and getting a true left tackle in the draft /free agency? And J-Rod, I appreciate that. We're going to answer that when we come back. Mike and I have had this conversation about Jake Matthews. This is a big season for him.
Right.
We'll also tell you where the Falcons are when it comes to the schedule. Do we have the toughest schedule or the least toughest schedule? It's coming your way next. It is Dukes and Bell coming up in an hour from now. New segment on the show called Yeah, Man. No, Man. We'll explain. Stay tuned for
that. I didn't get the memo on this.
Yeah, man.
Am I supposed to have notes for this? I'm not prepared for this.
No,
this
man.
Is just like high school all over again.
And here's the deal. And I said this to AT. I was like, if the segment works, it's a hit. Well, we'll take credit for it. If it sucks, it's your fault.
So it's yeah, man. No, man.
Yeah, man. No, man.
I like it.
All right.
And I don't even know what it's about, and I like it already.
And we'll expound on it more. Before we get into the Falcons and the schedule, if you're just joining us, first of all, thank you. It's Dukes and Bell. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jake Matthews, we've had this discussion, Mike. Right. What do we think he is? What is he going to ultimately be? Let's rewind for a second. Sixth overall pick in the 2014 draft, okay? Many people at that time thought that this was the safest pick. And you have to go back and think about where our team was when Jake Matthews was selected mm-hmm. with the offensive line. Came out of Texas A&M. He's going into his fifth season. Played in Houston at Elkins High School.
Right.
Dad, obviously, Bruce, beast, all right? Just a monster on the offensive line for many, many years. But if you look at Jake, or if you look at Jake over the last few years, and I was to ask you, well, what do you think? He's not a road-grading, you know, destroying people kind of left tackle.
Right.
He's very good. I don't think he's been great because we brought this example up. What's the kid in with the Titans? We were just up there. What's the kid that was drafted out of Michigan?
Taylor Lewan.
Has been better.
Taylor, now again.
Has been better.
The guy that did go, I think it was it's going to drive me crazy. It was out of Auburn, was the second overall pick.
Greg Robinson?
Thank you, Sam. Greg's great save. Greg Robinson got traded, by the way, last year to Detroit for a 6-round pick.
It's a bust.
You know, in the case of Taylor Lewan is the best. These are the big three. Taylor Lewan was the best of the three tackles that came out at the end of the day. And Jake, we're still, you know, I don't know if you consider all pro, and that's from the writers, Pro Bowl, which is fans, players, coaches, and, you know. But, I mean, just Jake, we thought this guy was going to be the rock star. Your dad is one of the greatest linemen to ever dress out, and Bruce Matthews, you know, a legend. So he's solid, he's competent, but he's not what we expected. I think we expect a little bit more. You know, and again, if you think it was a phantom hold call in the Super Bowl, that's also attached to him. You know, and that these are big moments, and big moments require big plays. But a lot of fans are saying, like us, maybe it's not even remotely possible for this guy to get a contract extension going into his last year of his deal.
I have no issues if you say you got to play the season out. Here's the thing that Jake has going for him, and here's the thing that his representatives have going for him. Guys missed one game since we got him. 2014, he played 15 games, started 15. 2015, 16, 16, 16. He's durable. Guy doesn't miss.
Right.
And that was a big part of his dad's success was you could always count on Bruce being out there. Now, that is a part of this mix of things that you look at when you say, are we going to give a guy an extension? That's a big part of it, guys. If I got a guy that doesn't get hurt, it shows up on Sundays, I can pay a guy like that. Is he what we wanted or expected as far as being that nasty left tackle where you go, man, no, this guy's in, you know, nobody's going to penetrate
right.
Jake Matthews. I don't think he's that guy. And you know, we were just talking about this off air. Lewan has a little nastiness to him. Jake, he's a nice guy.
Right.
I think you have to be a little nasty at that position because you're taking on, in most cases, Mike,
the best athlete on the
field, best pass
defense,
rushers on the planet. So, you know, with all of that said, only reason why we brought this up is because the guy asked us, fellas, what do you guys think about us maybe drafting a guy at left tackle in the draft? Guys, it's not going to happen. Here's the other side of this, business side. His future earnings are tied to him playing left tackle.
Correct.
He's not moving to be a right tackle at this point in his career because it's just not going to happen.
Let alone a guard.
Right.
You know, and so that's the thing, guys. As much as you would say, and I get you, I know where you're coming from because we've talked about this on and off the air. They're not going to do it. Number one, you're admitting you didn't get it right. They're not going to do that. And number two, Carl just laid out the other scenario. I mean, he's paid to be a tackle in this league. So, you know, and here's the other thing. Consider this for a moment, guys. Maybe the Falcons have no problem with his performance. You know, and it's just,
well, he's consistent, Mike. That's the thing.
You laid it out.
He's
consistent. Doesn't get injured. So the Falcons, in their minds, Mike, you guys are nuts. You know, and he will get a contract extension going into this final year. I'm not sold. I wouldn't. You didn't have to do it to Desmond Trufant. Desmond Trufant responded with arguably his worst year as a pro, despite how great the defense played. So we shall see. But that is something that comes up almost every week here, talking about the Falcons O-line.
It really does. It's Dukes and Bell, 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you have a take on it, certainly hit us up and let us know. What's the deal with the schedule, man? Where is our schedule as far as, is it the toughest coming up this next season or is it the easiest?
We are in the middle of the pack, amigo. Carolina is 12th toughest. We are the 13th toughest schedule. Washington, the 14th. Our opponents next year, based on this previous season, their winning percentage, 509, 130, and 126. So we're in the middle of the pack. Now, it is kind of, if you're a math nerd and you love stats, it's kind of fun to see how the schedule started to look like and what did it turn out by the end of the season, because some teams always rising or falling.
Right.
And they're going to be what you thought they were or vice versa. But anyway, we are 13th as far as in the league. The toughest schedule this year, Carl, in the NFL, Green Bay Packers.
Ooh.
Based on performance this last season, their teams have a winning percentage of 539, 20 games over 500 this last season.
Detroit and then New Orleans. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the fourth toughest schedule. And then the Panthers are ahead of the Falcons, as we mentioned. So, you know, again, we look at this stuff. We try to diagnose it and tell you guys, you know, what we know about these other teams. But, guys, let's be honest. We won't know what a lot of these teams look like until after free agency and the draft.
Right.
I mean, that to say this now is one thing. Let's talk in May when we know what the free agent situation is and what those draft picks have been.
Can the Packers finally put some more talent around Aaron Rodgers in his prime? You know, let's see how that works out. By the way, if you guys are not familiar with it, usual three from the NFC South, Cowboys, Giants, Cardinals, Bengals, Ravens at home at Mercedes-Benz. And then, again, away, the three from the NFC South. Eagles, we go up to Philly next year.
Not going.
I'll never go back. Redskins, now we will go to D.C. Yeah. Plenty of good seats available.
You guys wouldn't go with Hugh?
Who?
Hugh.
Well, I would go if he's walking with me. Yeah.
I feel safer on the, I feel safer on the sideline than I would in the stands, brother.
I mean, yeah, if Hugh was going to walk in front of us like a bodyguard, yeah, I'm cool.
I got to be honest. I'd feel – and the thing is, and my wife – and the other thing with this, my wife, you know, was like literally trying to – don't do it. Don't do it. You know, you heard the story she told you. I mean, it was just – they're just blank holes. No, nobody, you hear that, even the celebration, you heard how that went out. Yeah, they're just angry, they're screaming. You got players screaming, nobody said Lombardi's a jerk. Ah, they're all blanking everybody because they said this or that about Peterson. How about enjoying yourself?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'll
nobody's
be honest,
more angry than Philly, even when they win.
If we, and when we win the Super Bowl, the next day I can guarantee you we're not on this radio station talking about who's not going to be invited to
yeah,
the parade.
They literally spent five, Mike Conte talked about it. There was about an hour of radio conversation that Mike heard where they're arguing about Donald McNabb shouldn't be invited to the parade.
Who cares?
I mean, could you imagine if we won a Super Bowl arguing about Mike Vick being there? Like, who gives a flip? We won the Super Bowl.
Did he show up?
I mean, hey, all Falcons are welcome. We're all part of the
family. Did Donovan show up?
Was he paid?
I don't know.
That man,
I
mean, don't cross the street.
But that's just an example of what we're talking about. But so Eagles, no-go. Redskins, possible road trip.
Packers at Lambeau. Now, if it's at Lambeau in September, October, awesome. December, November, not so much. But if, guys, if you never made a trip to Lambeau,
it's great.
I know for some people that's a bucket list. We go to Cleveland and we go to Pittsburgh. And
Pittsburgh, too, by the way.
And
now,
by the way,
that's an early game. That's another one.
I told you, we had such a blend. Now, again, I don't know what it's like to be there for a regular season game. I was there for preseason. Everybody was quite enjoyable. And all they did was keep arguing with us, why couldn't you guys finish off those pesky Patriots?
Yeah, but we're not one of their rivals. And the Steeler fans are very knowledgeable and fun fans to be around. I have no issue
now,
with that.
If the weather's
that.
Right, Pittsburgh, there's so many cool bars now. And they've totally redone downtown. There's amazing spots over there by the ballpark. They got a casino right outside of Heinz Field. I mean, it's everything that I know I need, Carl, for a weekend.
I was going to say, wait a wait a minute. Are we talking about going to the game? Or are we talking about a fun weekend?
They even have a breakfast place. And we'll talk more about this in the fall, guys, called Meat and Potatoes. That's all you need to know for breakfast. But anyway, it's a great town to party in the early fall.
Well, that's the thing. The only reason we're laying this out is we're talking about the Falcons having the 13th toughest schedule in 2018. Texans have the easiest, by the way. Okay.
And this brings us to, Carl, some gambling news you can use.
News you can use.
Think about this. Deshaun Watson's coming back. They maybe pick up a few pieces in the draft or through free agency.
Over-under on the Texans?
They've got the easiest schedule in the league. Now, we got to see. Now, if the over-under in Vegas is 8.5 or 9, you got to go over. And they got the easiest schedule right now in the league. And you can have a quarterback that was going to throw over like 60 touchdowns, it looked like.
Well, you've got a new coach in Indy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not we're just talking about this, too. I'm still not a believer in the Titans. I don't even know how they won that playoff game. I mean, so their division.
With a brand new coach.
Right. Yeah. So their division, you're saying it's Jacksonville and everybody else. Okay, mm-hmm. With Deshaun Watson in the lineup, to your point. Yeah, that's going to be an interesting over-under.
If the over-under was 7.5, heck yeah, over 8.5, even 9.5, I think you were going to maybe put some money on that one. Just something to think about, guys, for those that are making trips to Vegas anytime soon.
All right, man, we got plenty more to get to. By the way, AT, while you were out, you just walked out and came back in. I was telling Mike about, our new segment coming up at 4:40.
Yeah, because you guys start off 2 hours of each show. Mm-hmm. With Hey Man. So as I was driving in, I was like, you know what? We need to do something now that football's out of the way of adding another segment to the show. And so I was like, Hey Man, No Man. So we'll give it a shot.
He's always thinking. See, he's always thinking. While we were killing brain cells, this man was thinking, drinking water.
Is that what he was doing when we were sitting there? Is that what he was doing?
This is while he was sleeping.
So there will be questions asked. We will give our points and counterpoints, but it'll be yay man or no man.
And by the way, you guys, when we left Music City, I slept in because I could, and my mother-in-law was here. I was in no rush to get home. But anyway,
is she gone now?
She's hopefully without. Well, I presume she's out of the antenna's range.
Okay,
she's probably by South Georgia. Well, I probably just stepped in it.
Oh,
anyway,
okay. They're driving. They're driving.
But I slept in Tennessee on Sunday morning. Too late. I watched that E60 on What's Up with Steve McNair. And Air McNair, H-E-I-R, about his sons, and his sons, one of his sons specifically. And I think you and I were thinking it was going to be more about what happened with the murder. So not really much anything. It's more about his son.
It's still unsolved. That's still an unsolved.
It is. Well, they still think she did. Anyway.
Well, I shouldn't say that. Right. Yes, correct. Right. They think it was a murder-suicide.
His mistress. Yeah.
But I will tell you, there are a lot of folks in the NFL circles who believe that wasn't the case.
Wow. Either way, you feel heartbroken for his wife. Who seems like she's just an outstanding person and the kids. But anyway, it's more about his son and how he's trying to choose his own path in life more than if you were thinking they were going to delve into it like a 30 for 30. But it was not the case.
Mm.
Well, I also thought they should have at least told us what the younger son is doing, too. I watched it late last night as well,
right.
And I was like, okay, at one point they show you a video of this past season where they're honoring Steve at a game and they give the pregame chant, so to speak.
Right.
And his two sons run out. And so you left wondering, well, what is going on with the other kid? So I just thought that was missing from the show.
All right. If you guys are interested, that's E60?
Yep. So it's out there. You can get, if you DVR that stuff, you can find it. But anyway, so I'm excited. So we got a new segment. Do I have to do anything? Is there any preparation?
No, not at all. AT's going to present the info.
Laid it out.
And we basically go, yeah, man.
I like that. See, the thing that doesn't involve anything for me on my end is all okay in my book.
And speaking of that, we will have Mike Conti coming up as well a little bit later. In the program, Conti, for those who missed it, made his debut as the United play-by-play guy and excited about the season. So it was a good weekend for Conti as well. And then he came back, man, hardest working man in show business. Right. Came back into the Hawks yesterday.
Hey, a couple of guys hit us up on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line saying, Mike, Carl, what does it cost to go to a Packers game? Well, it's expensive. Those tickets you're going to pay through the nose.
Yeah, it's the Packers, guys. But the experience, here's the deal. You can get them.
Right.
It's not like you can't get them. Mm-hmm. And the experience, it should be a bucket list. If you want to go see a game at one of the most historic places on the planet and your team is playing, which is our team, this is a great opportunity for you to do that.
So, again, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, some real heritage locations to travel to. And then there's Philadelphia, a place I would not recommend visiting.
Hey, man, coming up, we got more football conversation along the way. But when we come back, the expectations for the start of spring training. Yeah, pitchers and catchers report. Mike, I know you're excited.
What?
Conti. Have I got good news for you?
Right here on Dukes and Bell.
All right, coming up at 4, we'll talk more about what's going on with Mark Fox and the Georgia basketball program. And Georgia Tech takes an L to Duke. And, of course, some college football news as well. Right now, it's time for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
What's up, guys?
How you doing, man?
You know, I feel bad. I missed all the Winter Olympics action because we were in Nashville over the weekend. I didn't see the curling preliminaries or the speed skating time trials or anything like that. And I am a big Winter Olympics fan. There are numerous controversies right now.
Are there?
But maybe the biggest one involves a Dutch speed skater by the name of, I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Want to take a stab at it?
Go right ahead. Give it a shot.
You speak Dutch?
If you can do that.
I've been to Arnhem.
Yes.
If you can do that, I will be extraordinarily impressed because there's a lot of vowels there.
Come on. Singe net.
Yes. Singe net.
There's a lot of consonants going on there.
Well, can Singe I be honest net. With you guys yes. right now? It could be any name, and unless there's one, no.
You know what you can call him? The little Dutch boy. You could call him Mr. Wooden Shoes. We're not going to know.
Well, I don't think I'll go quite in that direction, but we'll just say Siggy or Siggy. He won the silver in the 1,500-meter speed skating event on Saturday. And they do the medal ceremony, and they're standing on the podium. And there's some controversy because Siggy Net has a kind of foul look on his face. He doesn't look too terribly happy. And if you look at his right hand, it's kind of at his side. He's got a finger extended that is in plain view of everyone.
Ooh. Oh, he extended that finger.
He extended that finger.
Is that a salute in Amsterdam?
No, it means the same thing in Amsterdam as it means here in
universal.
America.
It's universal.
It's pretty universal. Now, he can have his medal stripped if they say that, you know, this is egregious conduct and unsportsmanlike and all of that. He says, you're making something out of nothing. It was just totally incidental. However, this is the same speed skater that 4 years ago in Sochi was disqualified because he lost in a qualifying race. And as they're kind of cooling down, you know, skating around and you know, cooling off and everything like that, he decided to, in plain view of everyone, give a double salute with that finger to the guy who beat him.
So he likes to
give the bird.
Yeah, extend the finger.
The bird is the word.
He has a track record of displaying the bird.
Right.
But doesn't this kind of remind you, like, remember when you're in high school and you have the class photo for the yearbook? And it was usually the first day of school, right? And they would, you know, bring you to the football stadium or the gym or something like that. And there was always that guy or two or three who would, you know, kind of put their hand up by their chin or by their eyebrow or something like that. They would try to sneak the bird into the photo.
Right.
And then you'd get the yearbook at the end of the year. Oh, he got it in. Oh, that got cropped.
The
he
famous Larry Zonka Jim Kick Sports Illustrated cover.
Yes, exactly. Where, yeah,
Zonka's given the bird.
The best one of all time, though, was the Bill Ripken baseball card.
Ooh, good call.
Yeah. Although I don't think that was the bird. I think that was something written on his bat.
I think so, too.
There was something dirty on the knob of the bat.
Yes.
He was holding the bat over his shoulder. Yeah, there was obscenity on the bat, which got past the top.
So what do you think happens? Are they investigating this?
I don't know if they're investigating or not.
The Dutch authorities will investigate, Carl. And if this is a second finger, he'll be dead if it's strongly.
This is one of a few controversies, though, in Pyeongchang right now. The other one, I guess they sent the women snowboarders out into the half pipe in, like, hurricane-force winds or something like
the lighter,
that.
The lighter, I guess, competitors were getting blown around by the wind.
Blown off the course and crashing because it was so windy. And one of the competitors in that called it a poop show, but used a different word for poop.
Now, I got to be honest with you. I'm not a big fan of the X Games type stuff, so when I watch this, I kind of enjoy the crashing aspect of it, Carl.
Now, I got to be honest, and I know
as long as nobody gets hurt.
I think we talked about this off
the
air.
That's not true.
And I don't know if you said this on the air. One of the problems the Winter Olympics has right now is that so much of it is based on what judges think. Like that figure skating that was on for 5 hours last night, listening to Mike Tirico talk about figure skating. It's all about what the judge thinks about the Canadian skater and the American skater and the French skater. You know, I like racing and who scores the most goals in hockey and who's
individual
the fastest
one-on-one
skater.
Competition. Mike, we were talking about it earlier. We touched on it because in the old days when we were kids, you had the Cold War, so Eastern Bloc, the Yugoslavias of the world, the Polans, well, they'd always go for the Russians over U.S.
Right.
So it is always a politicized aspect to this, and then wonder what the agenda is with the judges.
Exactly right, and they
used to, very subjective.
They used to judge in blocks.
It is.
You know, the snowboarding and some of the X Games stuff is the same way. It's all based on judging.
Yeah.
And, you know, no disrespect to a guy like Shaun White, but you have to wonder, you know, the bigger the name, if they might get the benefit of the doubt a little bit with the judges. I don't know. I'm with Mike Bell. I do not like the X Games stuff in the Winter Olympics. Keep it in the X Games. to stay over there.
Well,
team sports, Carl.
I just think one-on-one competition, we were talking about what attracts men in this country for the most part, and the numbers have proven this out. We like action. That's what we will. And I say that a lot of this stuff is not action, or at least considered to most men, not enough action to want to sit and you know, watch for three or 4 hours.
I'm with you. So there's a video that has kind of made the rounds on YouTube and Twitter and some of the social channels over the weekends from the Eagles championship parade on Thursday. And I never really talked to Hugh Douglas to see how he did there. I know he was there and he was taking some photos and hopefully he enjoyed it. But there's a video of the Philly cops surrounding a guy who appears to have intruded into the parade.
Uh-oh.
And they're trying to kind of get him out of the way, get him off the street, get him out of the parade. Turns out the guy that they were trying to eject was Corey Clement, who plays for the Eagles. And actually had four passes for 100 yards and a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
So what happened? He got off the bus trying to get back on the bus?
That's exactly what he did. For some reason, he got off the bus. But
nature called him to try to get back on the bus?
Well, I don't know if it was that, but the cops obviously didn't recognize him. So now there's this video. Look at what the Philly cops are doing to Corey Clement.
Oh, boy.
But to your point, Mike, the cops were pleading with the players, please do not get off the bus. You will be mobbed and we'll have a crowd control problem.
Right.
There were very obviously beverages consumed during the parade.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
One cannot fault. In fact, one of the legendary stories, that Philadelphia Flyers team in the mid-70s that won a couple Stanley Cups, all those guys drank like fish. And during one of the Stanley Cup parades, I think it was Bernie Parent, got off a float and went up to some guy's front door, knocked on the door and said, I need to use the bathroom. And they stopped the parade so he could go use the bathroom.
Wow.
And the guy never flushed that toilet ever again.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. He never used it again.
Got Bernie Parent's dookie sitting there, charging $5 a piece. You want to take a look?
But you know what? After
that was money between the pipes.
After all said and done, really no real incidents came out of that parade, which is good news, I think.
I mean, not
other than
I
the
heard,
the overall angry tone of everybody's acceptance.
I mean, the Jason Kelsey thing was.
That was the players. I'm talking about, we thought the fans might do a little bit more damage, and it really wasn't.
No,
really wasn't.
No, you know, it was daylight. They said they would confiscate any beer.
Well, there was one
thing. What are they, vampires?
They are going to have to resod a big chunk of soil by the museum there because, I should say, the soil got tore up.
The city can pay for that.
Yeah, who cares?
And they will. But that's where they had the Pope, and the soil got
and the grass
torn up
got
for
torn,
that,
right.
And they replanted. Now they're going to have to plant it again.
By the way, guy, hitting us up on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line, it's objective. You just don't understand what you are watching. Talking about our Olympic conversation.
No, I understand perfectly what I'm watching.
But the judging, to Mike's point, is very subjective.
Right.
It is not, you need to score this many points to win. You need to beat a guy or gal one-on-one. I have to watch figure skating and then subjectively be, or at least to try to understand what the judges are seeing.
I tried watching figure skating last night for a little while, and there was an American man who skated and looked really good, and a Canadian went out there and got a better score for some reason, and Johnny Weir and Tara Lipinski both came on and said, there's no explanation for that. What did the judge see? That is the problem.
Uh-huh.
Texter.
Yeah, buddy.
You're entitled to your opinion, but
you know what you are, pal? You're a communist. All you did was weaken the show today. We like American stuff over here. I don't know about you, Jack.
Hey, man. Mike, appreciate you. Mike Conti, we'll talk to you in the 5 o'clock hour. Coming up, Mark Fox gonna last?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.